Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
It'd be easier if it was just mono, but I've got, like, Dolby 5.1 children and the wife.
Is she the?
I don't think that's the right format.
I call my wife the 0.1 and the kid.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, no. It'd be easy if it was mono alone.
Dang, sorry.
I will tell you, though, I was actually ecstatic, which surprised me, because I was like, oh, there's a reason for my misery. I'm not just old and miserable. If I'd have been just as shocked if they told me I didn't have it as if I did.
Congratulations on the mono, I guess.
Well, a lot of other people were more disappointed in Game of Thrones than I was, so I felt like the best way to really get there is to get a good sickness going that just saps your will to live.
Grayscale was too much in your estimation?
I couldn't lay my hands on grayscale, so instead I had to get whatever was available to me. And my daughter brought mono home, so hey, why not?
So if you both have mono, it's not mono anymore, though, by definition.
It's duo. Except three of us have it. It's trio.
Trio. Or mono a trois, as they say in France.
Not with your children. They say that in Arkansas.
This is going in a bad direction already.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's not going to get any better. As we open up another episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast, I'm Cyrus Mordozovi of Kirkland, Washington. Clear on the other side of the Seven Kingdoms are Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And also in Austin, Texas, is His Grace Keyshawn the Broken.
Actually, you can call me Medicated Pete.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to. That's okay. But okay.
Just and call me.
As long as I call you.
That's right.
And as foreshadowed, hashtag foreshadowing, we're going to sift the wreckage that was Game of Thrones Season 8. Key, since I'm not sure you're going to make it through the whole episode, you want to open up?
I liked it.
Whoa! Okay. No, listen, that's good.
I kind of thought y'all'd be surprised. I guess I am totally willing to say that they had one single sin from which all other sins were spawned. They should have had a year or two to spell this out. And I feel like a majority of the problems, I wouldn't say all of them, but a majority of the biggest problems that I've seen everyone tear through, and am interested to hear y'all's takes, is that they just, it all came from rushing. They rushed too damn fast, and then because of that, all the other problems that are so egregious might not have been so bad if they'd have just given it time to breathe like they did the first four seasons or so, maybe five. But I, as far as like all the big points, I feel like everything that I liked could have been much more likable if it had time to grow. But instead, it was blasted through. And my favorite thing is something I saw online the other day, which somebody was going back through and watching the post-game commentaries with the creators, and they were talking about what a bad King Stannis would be, because he just didn't have the empathy to really understand the people. And then they picked Bran, who's the least human person you could possibly get to be king. And yeah, why not? So, but again, I think if they'd have had more time to, that's probably the hardest one, because trying to get Brand back to anything like a reasonable human being in the time they had, they didn't try that a bit.
Let me assure you, I have the things they did wrong part of this equation covered. You opened this soliloquy with the "I liked it." At no point in that answer, though, did you tell me why you liked it.
I guess what I'm saying is, if you imagine that, okay, we're getting a truncated story because Daddy's got to go to work, so they're going to go to work on Star Wars, and so you're getting the ultra condensed hitting the highlights points. And overall, I was like, once I put on the hat of, okay, they don't have time to do all the things they need to do. That's disappointing. But when it came to my take, it was more of, okay, was getting that I'm getting a condensed story and these are the highlights. I liked where they went. And I liked what they did. And that all the things that I could be solved with much more time. But as far as, you know, where they ended up, where the Starks ended up, you know, they killed off. I can't believe that Arya and Tyrion both survived. Pretty much, you know, my threshold for enjoyment starting off with Game of Thrones came down to, if they keep those two alive, I will be happy. And they did. The rest of them I didn't care so much about anyway. So the fact that it seemed like it really came down to those two being the big players and not the rest, and they were kind of treated as such by the last episode, it ticked off all the things that I was looking for to get out of it.
What do you think, Ariel?
That's my pitch.
Yeah, I'm with Keyshawn that if they had had more time, they maybe could have. I mean, by time, I mean more episodes or another season or something. I felt like the battle against the undead needed more than an episode. I felt like the wrap up in King's Landing and the attack on King's Landing needed more than one episode, even if it's feature film length. It's been a TV show all along, not a movie, not a series of films. So the way it unfolded, I felt like season 8, they spent a lot of time up front in the first, three episodes, maybe four, building up a lot of stuff. And then, yeah, there was payoff in the sense that like they got from point A to point B to point C, but I felt like we didn't get enough time to really see the characters make the choices that we've seen them make and the consequences therein and kind of everything unfold the way we are used to in previous seasons, even the ones that aren't based on the books necessarily, like season 6 and 7, I guess maybe even season 5. So it was disappointing that everything felt rushed. They barreled right into the fruit, and we knew this would happen, I think. At least subconsciously, I knew it would happen this way. But it was disappointing to see it unfold that way, because especially looking at the end, like looking back through it, I feel like the battle against the undead should have been 2 episodes. The battle at King's Landing or the assault on King's Landing should have been 2 episodes. And that's 4. And then you should have had like an intro and an outro. So I just wanted to see more of that. It felt like it ended too quickly, and it didn't. They didn't almost, especially the Dany Mad Queen thing, didn't quite feel earned. I mean, they tried. I recognize that. I see the scenes where they tried to build up her emotional kind of mental, you know, deterioration to the point where she was going to do that, but it didn't take the time it normally would have taken. They just barreled right through it. So that was disappointing. But I do like where that they ended with the Stark children that are left, including John, not so much a Stark, sort of a Stark. I like that they ended the show looking at them and seeing where they are. The whole King Brand thing is, I mean, the characters made a logical argument for having him. It's just, wow, that was unexpected at the end. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are definitely a lot of parts I liked. The Arya being awesome was really cool. It just felt like I didn't have a lot of time to sit with it. It was just one thing after another, and Barriss dying was just like really off key, and there were a lot of stuff like that. It just felt like they were just barreling right through at rapid speed.
Amen.
There is a lot to unpack here. So much so, I'm not really sure where to begin. It was absolutely rushed. And I think that's the truly unprecedented part of this. There was absolutely no reason to rush. HBO's coffer minders, for lack of a better term, have been on board for several years now that they wanted more Game of Thrones. They knew they had the golden egg.
This could have been 10 seasons, easy.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm left with is this very curious thing where now I have two sets of authors that have bailed on this storyline. That's the only thing I can come up with. I've never heard of anyone having this kind of creative freedom, and they were like, nah, we're done.
And I mean, there's, I don't know, maybe there's something about it behind the scenes, but like, the characters are good, the world is rich. I mean, why wouldn't you want to continue telling stories?
Money?
I mean, yeah.
They had all the money. That's not a suitable answer in this case. That's the bizarre part.
Hang on, you say all the money, but Disney has all the money. And I don't think HBO could pony up the kind of dollars that, say, Star Wars and Disney could be doling out.
Okay, let's run with that premise. Still unacceptable. You don't crap out two half seasons. You hand the baton to someone else.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if we're casting for a reason, why, though? I'm saying...
I just don't get it.
It just makes total sense that, yeah, you're a creator, though. I can totally see...
Oh, I'm incensed, and it's because of that. I'm going to sound like a dick, but I've ended a series before. I've done it. I will totally accept the idea that it's very difficult to do it really well, but it's not hard to avoid the crash and the burn, especially when HBO is on board. This was unconscionably bad. And I feel complicit. Two episodes of Full of Sound and Fury ago, Keyshawn asked me what happens if they fuck up. And I was like, I don't think they will. And now here I'm left with a car wreck that feels like Jason Garrett shouldn't be involved. It's like, it's that bad.
Ouch. Oh, man. Oh, my mono hurt. Hang on. I got me right in my mono hole.
Well, hang on. Take all the time you need to take care of your mono hole. But,
that can be construed in so many ways.
It was just, yeah, right? It was just fascinating. It was The Last Jedi all over again. There was the backlash. And then there was the backlash to the backlash. Guys, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many social media apps I saw that on. Like it's a germane argument.
Wait, foreshadowing about Danny?
Yeah, presumably. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, it was there. But foreshadowing is not a character moment.
Yeah,
it's
narrative
technique. They're completely independent. And listen, if you're that guy, I'm glad you feel clever. But you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
Well, wait a minute. Wrong that she was going to go that way, or wrong that they didn't do a good job?
Wrong that it works because they foreshadowed it. You still have to execute.
Yeah.
You got to earn it. Foreshadowing is not earning it.
Yeah. And when they rushed it, we came away with this weird thing that Daenerys essentially went crazy because her nephew wasn't DTF anymore.
Well,
I mean, what the hell?
One hell of a nephew. I mean, that guy won the Battle of the Bastards.
Did he, though? Well, he was there. He didn't die.
Any landing you can walk away from.
by that measure, that's the only way he won anything.
Oh, I know. There's plenty of blame to go around here. But I don't think it's a coincidence that when the show eventually became about John and Danny, like it was always meant to be, that they started to struggle because those actors, frankly, can't carry scenes.
Yeah.
And the story needed them to.
I don't know. I like Kit Harington. I mean, he's kind of a one-note pony so far, but his note was pretty
Winter is coming.
Yeah.
She's still my queen.
Yeah.
There you go. There's your Kit Harington soundboard. I get it. He's a beautiful man. And you know what? He, speaking on behalf of all the other short dudes, he did us right. But come on. No, I just so little of this made any sense. The battle plan for the Battle of Winterfell was just absolutely dumb.
Get him?
It wasn't even that smart because they didn't get him.
Get him, Ray.
They sent cavalry charging into the darkness against a foe that would not break.
Yeah.
Then they cut off any retreat behind a fire trench. The dragons don't do anything except fly into a storm, because I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad. And Tyrion and Varys, with straight faces, come out of this with like, any either of these people could be incredible rulers. Really? Oh, goodness gracious.
They hid in the crypt.
Yeah, they did.
That was something.
Hide behind the dead guys. I'm sorry, wait.
Nothing will ever go bad. Nothing will ever happen down in the crypt. Yeah. They said for 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're preparing to fight dead people.
And they knew that going in. It wasn't a surprise, like a horror movie.
I know.
They wide eyes wide open.
Oh, eyes were wide dumb.
And that's the new sequel too.
I guess. Oh my god, what an epic disaster.
That was episode 2?
3.
3? Was it
2? Yeah.
3 or 4, yeah.
Oh.
The Battle of Winterfell was episode 3. And the whole battle plan was like, "Look, we're gonna leave Bran as bait."
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why even waste all the Dothraki people then? Just let the dude waltz right into the Godwood. Yeah.
Well, I guess she didn't, because they showed right back up 2 episodes later. They breed very quickly otherwise. I don't know. It was there was some strange population math going on in the series.
I kept expecting them to do something with Bran and his powers. I mean, like, you know,
right.
Like, he's gone through this journey and become the three-eyed raven, and I'm like, okay. And he wrote he rode the birds, and I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I don't have an end game to pitch here, but what I really am asking the question: he rode those birds; they went a flying
right out to the throne that doesn't exist anymore.
Those birds just went off into the sky, and then he didn't do shit.
I thought they were going to call some kind of mystic warriors or like the children of the forest or some shit. Like, I thought he was like going to get help. He's like, nope. Nah, bro, I'm out.
I thought the birds were going to like fly into one of the dragon's eyes. Like
that would have worked too.
Yeah. I honest to God thought, okay, he's going to use nature to fight the
these are all better plans dragon than what actually happened. I'd like to point out.
Nothing happened. That was, I mean, that, you're right.
He might as well just sat there and vaped.
You made a really good point about it being like The Last Jedi. You know, The Last Jedi was a whole lot of just subverting expectations, but not putting anything else on the table. And it's the same thing. Bran just did nothing. And their plan was nothing. We're just going to do nothing. And it worked.
It worked for him spectacularly. He's king.
Apparently.
Jesus.
Good to be king.
I mean, is that the long con here? He was just, I know everything that happens, but I'm not going to tell anybody, so I'll be the only one left standing, or sitting in the case, maybe.
Perhaps.
I mean, that makes more sense than what I was presented with. I would accept that answer.
Yeah, if he'd have given the Doctor Strange answer, if I tell you, it won't happen. You know?
Yeah, no, he was just there to be weird. That was his thing.
Yeah, and the weird smirk. He was weird.
Goodness gracious.
And we're just complaining about episode 3. We haven't even made it to 4, 5, 6 yet.
No. We're only at the 20-minute mark.
Yeah, this is just a moment of episode 3. Was Bran doing nothing at every opportunity. And we're skipping over the fact that Bran was just left sitting around on his...
He wasn't, though. He was given Ironborn, and he said, Theon, you're a good man. Now go die.
No. I'm saying for the previous 2 episodes, they just let Bran sit in the middle of Winterfell as people
and stare at people awkwardly.
Yeah.
Well,
staring at people.
At least in my headcanon, that's what Sansa was doing and telling them to, like, she's always about, right? Telling them to do things. Maybe she was just like making them make it, like, you know, wheelchair accessible the whole keep. Well, I don't actually know what Sansa does except sit there and like tell people to think about the North.
Yeah, and segueing to Sansa, you know, it was like, boy, I know that she went through some shit for the last 6 years, but even her evolution to being the catty bullshit caller for standing up for the North kind of came unexpected. You could almost make a leap, like, okay, we can see we could eventually get her there, but I didn't feel like she was there going into this season. And it didn't feel like that they got her there. It was just all of a sudden you blink and she's being bitchy.
Just more bad writing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Sansa and Tyrion started doing really stupid things. The narrative needed them to do so in order to progress the way they set it up.
Hey, did I misconstrue a moment in the crypt? Was it A, that they were preparing to die, or B, were they having a romantic moment when they were sitting there behind that crypt with all hell breaking loose behind them? What was your take?
I would say a little bit of A and B. What do you think, Ariel?
Yeah, I think so too.
Both?
Yeah, I think there's some fondness there.
Yeah, probably not overtly sexual, but fondness. Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it as both. I don't know why. I kind of.
Yeah.
That might be one of the most multidimensional scenes of character emotion in the whole season.
Yeah. Surrounded by stupid.
Well, before we leave the Battle of Winterfell, such that it was, I do want to call out Keyshawn calling Lyanna Mormont taking out a giant like years ago.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
If you doubt me, it's on Twitter.
No shit. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, she was badass. What more could you have her do unless she literally took out Viserion? No, what was the name of the cold dragon?
Viserion.
Holy shit. I trained up on all the names. It took how many years?
You're on a roll. I know, right? Just in time for it to end ingloriously.
Right. I'm sure we go back to the beginning of the season podcast where I'm like, that little girl that was such a badass, the talkative one, Arya.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait, are we talking?
No, I was talking about what I couldn't remember the names
in
the earlier podcast, and now I'm all trained up, and it's good for nothing. I got to kill those brain cells. I'll just let the mono do it.
I mean, are we all... Was anyone else horrified that she wears the last breast we saw in this show? Arya Stark plus 4,000 for the last titties. Keyshawn, we didn't see it.
I looked away.
I scolded her.
Yeah, I...
You put those away, young lady.
I was like, no. That got the most, like, visceral no from me for the entire season was, no, they can't do this. No.
I think that really speaks to the horror of the situation, given what we've been shown in Game of Thrones over the last 8 seasons. This was the bridge too far.
It was. I honestly didn't know they showed a boob. I didn't see it.
I guess it was side boob, but that's too much. Just like, okay. No.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was yeah.
I understand the rationale. I totally get it. I don't want to look at it.
Yeah, because, you know, then you got to go back. And if you ever go and start the first season and you're just going to go, okay, well, it's coming for her too. Poor kid. You know, but I get why they did it. I mean, I saw interviews afterwards talking about how, you know, she's like 23 now or something like that. But I don't know. Tell
me, guys, is that true?
I think it's true.
Well. Oh.
It's not like she's a little bit of age. She's completely of age. It's more of you have Arya in your head as being a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's my head. Get it.
All right. So any more thoughts about the Battle of Winterfell before we dig deeper into this pile of dragon crap?
Jamie showed up.
Yes, he did. And he was a very good left-handed fighter.
Yes.
Don't think that's canon, but that's what happened.
Let's see now. Battle of Winterfell. Let's see. We had Mort Jorah went down.
Right.
Yep.
That's kind of how you would expect
it. Because Daenerys, for some unscrutable reason, decided to park her dragon in the middle of a zombie horde. Like you do.
Right. Right. I mean, I guarantee you, we're going to find out that she's in episode 9. Star Wars episode 9. I'm calling it right now. The character she played in
Solo.
Solo. We're going to find her back in episode 9. And she's going to be the pilot of that TIE fighter that's attacking somebody that only has a lightsaber and is flying 3 feet above the ground to attack her. Because it's the same logic as parking your dragon.
Okay. I'm glad I needed to slow walk me to it,
yeah,
but I see
exactly.
It.
Yeah, I needed to be led to that one, but I get it now.
It's the same logic. Exactly.
Which is to say the complete absence of logic.
Yeah, exactly. You're in a spacecraft. You could fly from space and shoot lasers at them, blow up everything around them and to kill them dead. Or, they've got a lightsaber. I'm going to fly right down as low as I can get. I can't get any lower to the ground so she can jump up and stab me in the head.
Now I thought that was a vision sequence personally in the trailer, but maybe you're right. Who knows?
So far,
J.J. Abrams knows.
All evidence suggests that that actress does not understand tactics very well.
Acting. She doesn't understand acting very well.
I'm kidding. I realize that the actress
I'm not.
Doesn't have any say, but it is pretty egregious and pretty funny that that problem of you've got air superiority. Let's get rid of it as stupidly as possible. It just hurts.
But she was really good at getting rid of her air superiority. So let's move right along to where she her dragon just gets shot in the damn face.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was the end of the episode, right? Or was that the beginning of the next episode?
That was episode 4, yes.
Okay, well, hang on. Before we get to 4, have to talk about Kit Harington just kind of wading out into the zombie horde to go about halfway to Danny and then turn around and try and get back to go to Bran and succeeding in neither, which, I mean, I know this all kind of circles around your original point of this was stupid. Yeah, I'm more just
we have a lot of
skip over that.
I don't know what the opposite of foreshadowing is, but we have a lot of just of a showing, I guess, that Jon Snow not smart in a fight.
Yeah,
post lighting. Great...
Sure.
My wife has never been in a battle, and
that you know of.
Well, yeah. verbal battles, absolutely. I mean, she's a warlord, but when it comes to actual physical battle, particularly with the undead, she hadn't been there yet, and even she was yelling at the screen, "Where are you going?" I wrote this down. Where are you going? And when Jon Snow's tactics lose the stay-at-home moms, you might want to.
Who were there for Jon Snow?
Right.
Kit Harington girlfriend 2019.
That's all right. Right. Yeah. Where are you going?
Well, the answer, lest it be overlooked, was to go into the courtyard and not fight the dragon.
I think he turned to the screen. I don't know.
He knows nothing. This has been covered many times.
Yeah, no. Egret was right.
She was right.
Oh, God, she was so right.
You want to talk about foreshadowing? They beat you over the head with that one.
Yeah, Jesus.
There's your title for the podcast. Egret was right.
Yeah. You know, in some ways, the failing to deliver a satisfying conclusion to Jon's story is almost more upsetting than what happened to Daenerys to me.
Really?
Yeah. Ostensibly, the title of the novel series is a nod to Jon's parentage.
Oh, yeah. I can
and
see
I, that was supposed to be a big deal, and then it just wasn't.
It just absolutely was not. It was.
We did nothing with it, and it's like, well, okay, so why did this matter?
I guess. Because
why did we spend 20 years pretending R plus L equals J was code?
It cock blocked Daenerys.
Okay. And it's just fascinating. Was that where he was going with it all along? I didn't feel that way.
No, it can't be. You can't that and let it have just be nothing but, oh yeah, it just means you can't hook up with her and then she's going to go crazy.
You could have had two seasons probably of people in the North kind of citing, trying to promote Jon as a leader and a bunch of infighting before they even got anywhere close to the Red Keep. And had all kinds of fallout and spill out and all kinds of political intrigue just around his parentage and what that means and what it means to other people.
Sure. I think that it was a shortcut that was a bad, very bad shortcut for saying, well, since you're my nephew, we can't be together. You don't want to be with me. Then I'm all alone. And then it's like she went ape shit from that moment on. And I felt like if in the books, I don't think they would even go that route. I think there'd be all, just like what you described, a big intrigue. You could have half a book dedicated to all that shit.
Precisely. These are why the novels aren't coming out.
And she could go crazy for all the other reasons, you know, about how, you know, the habit that she has of burning her enemies to the ground. And you could build that up. And it doesn't have to be because she couldn't be with John. I felt like that. I can't be with John, so I'm going to go crazy. Was their way of circumventing all of that for something to get them from point A to point Z.
Yeah, they had point Z from the author. They just didn't have the roadmap because he's still hashing it out.
Yeah.
I think maybe the most brutal tragedy of this whole fucked up character arc was that I think the idea of someone trying to save the world and breaking under that pressure is something we actually haven't seen in epic fantasy before and would have been really interesting to watch if it had been done correctly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's kind of where I'm going when I say that I liked it, because if you get past that, well, they obviously didn't expound on what they needed to expound on. They couldn't. But
yeah, this is the where the Last Jedi metaphor really works too, because like I could see what he was going for.
Yeah, I couldn't see what he was going for with the Last Jedi, but I think I'm too.
I could see parts of it, but yeah.
But here I could see it, and I could think, oh, you know, in a book form or a more expanded visual form, this would be really great. All of this stuff could have been done out and really great. All we're getting are the highlights, and then you're left going, you know, they didn't show this.
Go further, Keyshawn, with your point there. As Danny is transforming into this arc villain, the final, the big boss of the series, as it were, we don't really see it. They take her out of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a bizarre storytelling decision.
Yeah. They almost try to pull a trick where if they take her out, the viewer's mind fills in the details that they couldn't show you. Instead of them just showing you with extra footage,
right?
They let you kind of jump from point A to point E or Z without doing any work. Maybe an occasional, you know, foreshadow here or there, or a sour face here or there, but you have to make the big leap yourself.
I know what gif you're referencing.
Exactly.
That's made its rounds the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Do you guys think that, remember back when there was an episode where, I think it was Hard Home. Was it Hard Home? Or where was the episode where they were stuck on the island? There were like six of them that.
Oh, God.
That was after
Beyond the Wall.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they were like able to fast travel. You remember when it was a big
That's the one where Gendry tapped into the Speed Force.
Yes.
Yes.
He ran all the way across the North.
Right. And everybody went off on that. And I feel like that was the moment that they were foreshadowing that, oh, we're going to pick up the pace here on this stuff. And, They and picked up the pace way too much. But that was the first indicator.
Yeah. Yes. Seven is where stuff started to kind of fall apart.
But even then, it was like, I don't know, maybe more exciting that everybody forgave it a little bit.
Yeah.
As it went, there was a lot happening still.
And such spectacular visuals too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so you can kind of forgive it a little bit, and then...
Well, particularly the traveling. I can forgive the travel. Sure, yeah. We can just, you know, 1 month later, they're over here. But we don't really care about the 1 month. That's fine. I could totally live with that. But then they started fast-traveling the plot.
I would like to throw out the thought here that Daenerys Targaryen is secretly a Disney princess. Because every time she gets on a boat, something horrible happens. Well, what do you guys say to that theory?
Ooh.
Sounds pretty good to me. She's just not allowed to be a Disney princess because of the rating of the show. So she's like a Hulu princess or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But well, yeah. She had an awful time of it on those Maritime Avengers.
Okay, so we're to episode 4, right?
Yeah.
All right, remind me, what other horrors happened to us in episode 4?
Well, episode 4 will be on the gift face that Ariel brought back up. Huh? We start having the rift between House Stark and House Targaryen, such that it is really for no reason at this point.
Yeah.
They've just kind of decided they don't like her, even though she saved their ass.
Right.
True.
Oh, and they're all celebrating and talking about how good everybody but her was. And she's sitting there
with her Starbucks cup, just angry as fuck.
They wrote her name wrong on the cup, so that didn't help.
That was the last straw. it was all Starbucks.
They expected
fault.
You to pick it up from there. That you would have known that was the thing to break her. Is that exact thing?
That was foreshadowing. I said no foam.
Two pumps. Damn it.
How goddamn hard is this?
Nobody likes me here.
Yeah, well.
This woman was working her way to take over this whole land and did not want to be a queen of ashes. And then gets there and they finally win and she's sitting there pissed off that nobody likes her there. No one knows who she is.
And in her defense, I would be pissed too. It's like, sure, what do I have to do?
That's
to
fair.
Get you vaguely Scottish sons of bitches to accept me.
I was kind of like surprised all the way around. It was like the characters gave her absolutely no credit for dragons or shit. Nothing.
Nope.
Just flat talked about everybody else right to her face, you know? So here's John. John is the best. You know, going off on him and everybody else.
It really is just, it's indefensible because up until that point, John and Tyrion's faith had been very well placed.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very fair. Very fair.
I mean, she's not good at scouting, obviously. And Rhaegal ultimately plays the price for that.
True.
Yeah.
But then somehow none of that mattered in the last episode when they're the same amount of ballistas all around, but she dodged them like it was no big deal.
Right.
Well, she makes basically her only good call as a military commander. She starts the attack at dawn, so the sun is in their face.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
And that should last for all of the time it takes for her to get down to eye level. And she did. She flew right down in it. Now, I kind of could think, all right, with the boats, with the fleet, that she could get around behind them where they can't shoot through their masts and all that kind of stuff. That, okay, I can almost buy all that. Unless you have your boats turned every which way. And, of course, they couldn't. They're all facing the
sun. Nah, it's an old school frigate, right?
Right. But when she started attacking the walls, well, those things were aimed every which way, and that was when I was like, well, boy, she really is just miracling her way all over the place now.
Well, counterpoint. I actually bought it. Really? I feel like the sin is making it seem like Rhaegal was easy pickings.
I think that's where they
made the error.
Sure. Well, I thought. It was more of showing off her naivety for taking care of her kids. It was like, she could have put armor on them. Didn't do that. and just flew straight.
I don't know. How many dragon tailors do you think there are in the Seven Kingdoms?
Well, apparently there's enough tailors for them to make a giant black flag and have it fly.
Here we are.
Castle. Yeah, yeah. When did that happen? Get the knitters. Begin. Start. Show me a great big Targaryen
And where were they knitting? That's the real question.
I assumed on the butt. I want to know who were the knitters.
That's one of the new spinoff series.
Yeah.
Dragon knitters.
Knitting on a boat. That's probably what, what was her slave's name that she freed? The one that got her head.
Masande?
Masande, yeah.
Masande. Yeah, she had a whole squad of Masande led them to knit this flag on the boat.
Maybe she should have knit a life jacket because it didn't work out too well for her when she filled that boat.
Oh, man. And I'm sorry, but at what point I cannot fathom that Cersei, if given the opportunity, would have told all of those archers to fire and kill Tyrion standing there right in front of all of them. With nothing, right?
I don't feel like it's even like one of the top 12 plot holes.
No,
but it's a fair point.
No,
got to point it out, nevertheless.
Yeah.
For me, it was like when he walked up there, I was like, "They're killing Tyrion right here. They have to."
That's what I thought.
He's got to die because he's marching right up in front of her.
That would have been actually a very classic Game of Thrones way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unexpected, Yeah,
I just couldn't believe that. He managed to get up there and she let him talk. I just couldn't believe. Hell, she hardly said a word.
No, she did so little this season except sit there and drink wine on her balcony.
Yeah, rub her belly. Oh, that brings up the other. Again, it's like, every word that actor spewed on the. It was a waste of time. It wasn't even that it was bad. It's just, you could, if you just add up the seconds that his mouth was moving and put them together, you could have advanced the plot that much further with Danny or any of them, Bran, anyone. And maybe I blinked or maybe a year or two went by between seasons, but I don't remember when he first showed up. I just, all of a sudden he's there. And I'm like, didn't he play Sabretooth? That's about as far as I got. And then
who are you talking about? I'm so lost.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Oh, you're talking about
the mountain?
No, the king of Iron Islands, Euron.
Euron Greyjoy. That's it.
He was not played by Liev Schreiber, who played Sabretooth, for the record.
But okay.
He's close to looking enough. Yes.
Didn't he look? Didn't he look?
He looks.
Well, they have the same haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What I'm saying is,
he could play Sabretooth in a future X-Men film, perhaps.
I spent most of my time this season and some of last season asking myself that question while he's talking, and I could have cared less about anything he did or said, and I was right. Because it didn't matter a goddamn bit. Not a bit.
Yeah, Euron was weird.
Right.
He was super weird.
Yeah. I'm going to put a baby in you.
He did say that a lot, that's for sure.
He did. So, and then where'd they go with it?
Oh,
nowhere.
He died on the beach going, I got you. That's it. Think of the time they spent with that guy.
I believe in the novels, which will never be written, that he actually has a large role to play.
Oh, yeah.
But because there's so little has been mapped out for him, they didn't really know what to do with it.
They should have never even put him on the board. They should have just... There was nothing there.
He was there as a balancing factor for Danny having control of both the air and the seas.
Man, I feel like there's a million ways that they could have had that bank and... The bank.
You can't park that here.
Yeah, that's right.
What is she, like Al Capone? They get her on tax fraud?
They didn't need the boats. You got the bank.
Duties are the death of fluff. Trade duties.
Oh, yeah. pass the shit out. It'll be the last flag you sew.
Okay, so they get so moving on right along, just because that's what the show did. We get down to in episode 4, we get in record time, everybody gets down to the King's Landing. Except for Rhaegal. Rest in peace.
Right.
Is. Because they just apparently have no scouting for this army or navy. Only person who gets killed is Missandei.
Boy, that sure did flip the switch on Grey Worm.
Sure. And, you know, to be fair, I was about to say, I bought it. That was an earned character moment.
Yeah, I agree.
So when he went super butchery there, that made sense to me.
All the way up till him turning on John.
Really?
Yeah, for me at least. I
the guy who stabbed his queen in the heart?
Well, hang on. He turned on John in the streets before that.
Oh, because he said, "Don't kill people. Don't kill the Lannisters."
Yeah, right. I could believe all the way up to there.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I still buy it.
Yeah, I feel like that was one of the most earned character turns in this season.
I feel like you're right. I'm not disagreeing that he got the reason to be an asshole, but I just didn't think he got enough reason to be that much of an asshole. I thought even there that if John said something that. If you're believing the time that has gone by with them together fighting these battles, that he wouldn't do that. That even he would be like...
Grey Worm was trained from as long as he could remember to just be an instrument of war.
That's fair.
As an Unsullied. And those were Lannisters too. So I think any mercy that he might have had, you know, I just... You see that red and gold, you're like, nope.
Yeah.
0 points for Gryffindor, motherfucker.
He went full Anakin Padawans.
Yeah. Okay, so Daenerys decides, nah, I'm just going to burn everything down. Instead of, like, in her rage, burn down the Red Keep like she should have.
God damn it.
Big because, I guess, foreshadowing.
Fuck that bell.
No, absolutely did not ring that bell.
Fuck that bell.
Yeah.
I never heard it.
We do have an absolutely spectacular sequence where she just rages all over King's Landing.
Yeah.
Totally awesome. From the guy who brought you Winterfell at Night.
Now, hang on. You just said something I'm going to call out. But
go ahead.
They showed her raging sitting on the dragon. And then you saw the dragon burn down King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually at least harbored a thought. I wouldn't say it was a fully thought out thought. But I at least threw it out there to my wife going, hey. There might be a small chance that she was screaming at the dragon to stop the entire time because we never saw her. Because, like you said earlier, they took her out of the story. So we never got to see her raging and doing all this. We just saw the effects on the ground of everything that was going on. And so
Which was affecting. I'll defend the choice to do that. I think if you want this to have the impact that they intended, you got to have Daenerys up there just angry as fuck.
That's true.
We have to know what she's going through to buy it.
So there was a part of me that was like, I was wondering if they were going to have a big, you know, turnaround where it was the dragon that went off and that she didn't want to do any of that because they never showed her. And it was purely because they never showed her. And I was trying to rationalize why in the hell they wouldn't show one of the starring characters doing something this big. And I thought, oh, maybe that's the turn. They're gonna show that it was the dragon that flipped its shit, not her. And then once the next episode rolled around, and nope, it was her. All right, well, there went that theory.
It would have been really of a hell of a twist without any explanation if Bran had warped into the dragon and just decided to destroy King's Landing.
So he could be king.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's like, you thought I didn't do shit with the birds, huh? Well, check this out.
He Hodored the fuck out of that dragon.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that thought. You know, that could still be canon. It's not like we didn't see a bunch of other important shit either.
Oh, there was so much stuff they dropped off here.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you guys think of the Clegane Bowl, as the ringer.com terms it?
I loved it.
It was
that was called the Clegane Bowl by everybody.
Oh, okay. I thought that's where it originated. So I just wanted to call it out if it was.
I think that's a fan thing.
That's a fan thing. It's been going on for a long time. It was great. I loved it.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy it that much, I guess, because I felt like the Hound wasn't as dominant as I wanted him to be. I mean, the Mountain is the Mountain, and he's also a zombie mountain, but I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted it to go a little bit differently, I guess.
Well, hang on. First, let's talk about I'm going to forget his name. Shit.
Qyburn. They got
yes. We got to start there.
That was good. That was good.
That was great. That little asshole had been around forever and was just destroyed without a thought. And Cersei did not even slow
she
down.
She didn't blink.
Stepped over his corpse and noped the fuck out of that hallway. Just gave no shits.
Just like, I really got to go to the bathroom. I'm out of here.
None.
That sounds like Cersei.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the Hound was great. There was a scene right before Clegane Bowl when he, again, another thing that probably could have had 10 minutes or 15 minutes really devoted to it, if not longer in the show, over a couple episodes, of the Hound trying to convince Arya not to be him. And I could see eventually him getting it across, but doing it in 30 seconds and just like after she went all that way and got all the way there. And then he turns at that moment and says, "You know what? You should go. You don't want to be this. You don't want none of this, Ricky Bobby."
You know, you're saying it as a joke, but I 100% agree with you on a serious level. I actually, to kind of circle back to what something you said earlier, I don't think Arya's ending works.
Really?
No. Like, well, what? She's Amelia Earhart now? This is a young lady whose you know life, her reason for being was defined by vengeance.
Well, I can again if they'd had the time.
They had the time
for him.
They just did elected. Nah, we're not. We don't. We got this. It's fine. We only need 6 episodes.
Right, right. That was the sin. That was the sin. But if they'd have had a course of a season of him, you know, I could see 3 episodes them moving from point A to get all the way down to King's Landing, and he's working on her the entire time about you don't want to be this, and that, you know, he could, if anybody could change your mind about it, would be the guy that literally lived his life as, you know, just like she's trying to live hers, and but not in 5 seconds. But if you forgive that, oh well, maybe that he's been working on that, we just never saw it, and we see the culmination of it there, then I can see, okay, yeah, she would at that point go, okay, I'm going to choose life over this, because, you know, that she's got all these other things now that she didn't have over the course of her, you know, vengeance. She's got a boyfriend. She can go exploring, you know, go
imagine if they had dropped those elements, you know, a few at a time, and even had other family members kind of push on her about her need for vengeance and actually like explore it more. Outside of the context of after having killed a few people that she needed to kill, like she did with Littlefinger and stuff, like have her like question it and explore it and have characters bounce off of the idea and have her bounce off those characters. And,
right.
You know, there's so much more they could have rolled out to kind of get her to where she is at the end if they really wanted it.
Exactly. And I think that was, again, their failure was that they didn't do that. But I think the ending works, just how they got to the ending is what failed. I can see getting her there.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Arya needed to be more than just a vengeful rage monster at the end. It's just they had to roll it out, and they chose not to take the time.
I'm surprised they didn't kill more characters. I mean, there was a ridiculous...
There was a moment there where it was like, in old Game of Thrones, the minute that, like, Jon had Bran tell Arya and Sansa that he was who he was, like his parentage, that like he would have just been straight up murdered. Like the dude would have been slit throat right in front of Daenerys, and that would have been it.
Just have an aneurysm and drop dead right there.
Whatever. Yeah, just dude would have been killed. He would have gotten got.
I thought you were going to say when he was roaming through Winterfell, seeing everybody else being attacked by the undead, when it was really bad.
You see
Brienne up against the wall, you know, being attacked by all those things. And then you see his buddy in a pile of undead. And I was just sitting there going, old school Game of Thrones, every one of those characters is dead. There's no
way.
No way they would have let them live. And all of them live. That was unbelievable.
Except for Melisandre and Beric.
Right. Even Beric, I mean, like, it was sort of heroic and what have you, but it felt less epic, his passing, than it needed to be.
I agree.
He's like, let me just roadblock these guys for a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah, all that he'd done was for that one thing. And it seemed like that was a little too little for teeing up Arya to be the one that kills the Night King. It just seemed like it wasn't quite like, oh, yeah, we're going to keep him alive for, you know, 23 deaths or however many times he died.
Right.
Well, Ariel said it best a little while ago. I mean, it was portrayed as the true central conflict of the series, and then it was resolved kind of easily in one battle.
Mm-hmm.
Via poor planning.
It's like they gave Arya the cheat code.
Poor planning.
Arya had the cheat code. She's like, "Oh, I got wall walk now. Walk through walls code. I'm out of here." And she just finished it up.
Meanwhile, Jon can't find a way around his own damn castle.
Yeah, she spent a season learning how to wear faces and did not use that talent once.
True.
Right? Did I miss it?
No, you're right. I mean, they could have also
the creators missed it.
That could have been a whole talent show of all of Arya's skills that she needed to put together in order to make it to the Night King to assassinate him.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Little undead walker going along, killing all
that. The staff skills, the blending skills, a little bit more of the parkour than just hiding behind bookshelves.
Yeah.
Archery. Like they could have built up a whole showcase for Arya's character in the last 15, 20 minutes of that episode to kind of get her there. Yeah. And you feel like, oh my god, she's a badass, this is gonna happen, and bam,
which had been more believable.
I'm not laughing at you, Key. I'm looking at the clock. We're at the 1 hour mark and we haven't actually hit the greatest atrocity, which is the last episode. I think we're there though. Is there anything else we need to be like, what the fuck, before we move on?
I think we're there. We had Clegane Bowl, so we're...
Okay. All right, so King's Landing has fallen.
On top of Cersei and Jaime.
Oh, yeah. Because they couldn't turn left, evidently. And,
oh,
yeah.
Look, Jaime! And Jaime! What the fuck?
We're not
done. I mean, they gave this whole arc for him, like, going to Brienne and becoming, you know, like...
Yeah, no, we're done with that.
Then it's just like, just can't quit you, Cersei.
Yeah, that's the hell they decided to go with it, strangely enough.
Yeah, why can't I quit you?
They didn't address
it. I'm going to kill 100 zombies with only one hand, but this one son of a bitch who's a weird pirate dude.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Can't do it. Mm-mm.
Pirate Wolverine? No, can't do it.
Pirate Sabretooth.
Pirate Sabretooth, sorry. Pirate
Important
Wolverine
distinction.
Yet to be revealed.
Yeah. What the fuck?
So they die in the basement. Bringing us to the last episode. Where Jon and Tyrion are like... spend one third of the episode like debating whether or not they may have made a mistake backing this particular horse.
Oh, they really let that time breathe, didn't they?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
It was practically an episode of Oz. Half of it was in jail. One wanted to get out, the other one go in.
Viserys was right.
I guess Danny decided he was.
Yeah.
And then Varys called it. And then
Varys, that's it. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay, so Jon kills her.
And then the dragon's like, you know what? I'm gonna take out this throne because
fuck this chair.
I don't know how to sit in this. Oh!
Well, obviously there's a pointy thing stuck in her, so he thinks the chair did.
Yeah, maybe that's the real tragedy all along.
I thought maybe they were going to go on. This was the Rick James thing with Charlie Eddie Murphy's couch.
I burn on your chair.
Oh, my God. That's done.
My wife read into it all of this, you know, like the dragon saw how much that chair had caused grief and agony for everybody and then ended up being the thing that turned his mother. And I was just like, no, the dragon saw the one thing holding a sword. That was this chair of swords. And his mother's got a sword in her and just went off on the chair. I'm laughing during the big moment.
Which looked awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
So he looks up the chair. Keyshawn's laughing maniacally. Picks up his mom and he pieces out. And we have a very long fade out to black. Here's my question for both of you.
Yeah.
The episode is not good up to this point. But given what's about, what now you know what the next 45 minutes are, if this show ends Soprano style with that fade out to black, is it better?
Better. Better, I think.
I think it makes more sense than what
I like the coda, the idea of ending with the Stark children because it starts with the Starks.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I felt like we would feel robbed if they just ended Faded to Black in that respect. But it would have been better, I think.
Well,
overall.
First off, I didn't think you were going there. I thought you were going to pose the question, how the fuck does John even make it out of that room? I mean, we just talked about how Grey Worm had gone kill crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a fair question.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Only being Alfred Weiss, no.
How? What words did he say? No, no, no. You should put me in the link. Okay? I know you were just steady murdering. I know I just killed your queen. But
somehow he gets thrown in the cell next to Tyrion, presumably, and we have another episode of Oz or two that we don't off stage. We don't see it.
Yeah. Man. I mean, there was a major conversation that we got nothing of.
Instead, he calls a council.
Yeah, I don't understand how Tyrion gets to make any decisions. Definitely.
How Grey Worm agreed to it all.
Also, that.
How did they know? Did they, who made the invitation list? Is what I'm trying to figure out here.
Yeah. No idea. Grey Worm just like, who are all these white people I met? I gotta write them. how that came together, we will never. That's some. You want to talk about some magic ass shit that had to happen?
So anyway, the King's Moot does happen for reasons unknown to anybody with half a brain in their head.
Hey, look, don't kill me. Don't kill me. I need to write all of my family and all of my friends and have them come and have a conversation to decide what to do.
But not me.
Not me. No.
Not, nope.
I'll go quietly over here to this jail cell. Yep. You win. Yep. That's some Jedi mind tricking right there.
But Tyrion gets an invite. Make sure you take him.
That's right. Ask the little one.
Yeah, take that guy.
What you should do with me.
All right. So then these people, some of which who don't have names, literally don't have names, decide to stay together inexplicably.
And declare democracy completely useless.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sam could have been. Actually, there's another Targaryen.
He could have said that, yes.
Yeah, he didn't. No.
Neither did Tyrion.
Because that no longer matters, apparently.
Oh. Neither did Tyrion, Sansa, Arya. Who else knows?
No.
Davos?
Yeah. Brand. But so then he's like, no. We're gonna put forth the guy with the best story.
Yeah.
This weirdo who sits there, talks, it flies around in birds. But he's not killing the mood in the room. I give you Bran the Broken, your new king.
The story that's not been told.
Yeah. Which everyone agrees to, except for his political mastermind sister, who immediately Brexits the North, Nexits, if you will.
Yes.
Even though, as a political mastermind, she would know that would absolutely cut the legs out from underneath his administration. Yes, pun intended.
Right.
Oh.
She Jamie Lannisters him all over again.
in Game of Thrones, tell me that the other Theon's sister would not have been like, well, if she's leaving, I'm leaving.
I know.
Right?
It doesn't make any sense. None of it. And that's why I'm saying, even though, like, with Drogon just piecing out and saying that's the end, it's not a good ending, but I would argue it actually is a better ending than what we got. Because that last 45 minutes is such an intellectual disaster. None of it makes sense on the face of it.
Maybe John said that Dany was eaten by the dragon. Then the dragon. He might have hung it on the dragon.
But then why is John in the cell at all?
They didn't believe it.
But then we're right back to where we started. Yeah, it's just silence here because there's no. It's completely implausible in a story about dragons and white walkers and such.
Yeah. And, you know, and we spent how many years of the show over the sea in, is it Dario?
Essos.
Essos, where Dario's, yeah. And now there's a whole new ruler of Essos, and we got one line, like in episode 3, about there being some new leadership over there, and it's like she didn't even think a shit about it and moved right on. And now we've got a new leader from Essos sitting there.
Oh, no, the Prince of Dorne.
Right.
Name pending.
Yeah.
Right. Unnamed is one of the many unnamed.
Right. He was one of the unnamed. They gave no shits.
It's weird. Like, so many of those houses had pledged to join the Targaryen cause, and now, because no one says anything, they think that house is gone forever.
Yeah.
So we wind up with, like, Bran the Broken as king of the now six kingdoms. Jon is allowed to go to the Night's Watch, which no longer has any reason to be up there.
Honestly, that's just it. He just was going to live off with the wildlings at the end, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like that was the trick, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know how you even make that plan, because there's no... The Night's Watch was there to defend, ostensibly, the wall against the threat of the White Walkers.
Well, I kind of like that, because it's just a trick on Grey Worm. Going, oh, he's being punished for sending him up there. And I'm sure Grey Worm was up in the north thinking, yeah, this is hell. We're sending that guy to hell. And so, not knowing that that's, you know, he's happy.
That wasn't a thing anymore? That's interesting.
That he's happy.
That's at least a half-assed theory that I can get behind.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's got, well, you, well, listen, you're ahead of Weiss and Benioff right now.
Thank you for that raving review of
It's not an indictment of you, man.
That's a half-ass.
You just made chicken salad out of chicken shit. You had nothing to work with.
Oh well, I thought that was what I thought they were going for. Was like what was it, Br'er Rabbit? You know that? Oh, don't throw me in the briar patch. And you know that's what they were doing with John. It was like, oh, we're gonna throw him up in hell and where it's frozen, and he'll be miserable with the Night's Watch. And really, he's going back up to his best friends where he was happiest.
Right.
Which is it works as a happy ending, but it's not John once again as we understand him.
Well,
he's all about duty, and I think his heart would tell him that he needs to be the new king.
Well, I think he's going to be king of the real
world. As Tyrion tells him during, you know, the Oz episode part of it.
He's going to be the new Mance Rayder up there.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing I was disappointed in. That I did find myself doing is I was looking for at least one pretty redhead in that group of, you know, all of those wildlings. And there was no hint, no even passing sniff of any attractive woman up there in those last shots. There was not one to be seen. And I thought, oh, he's going off to die alone.
Wow.
Alone and cold.
Yeah, having never known nothing.
I certainly know have sought no evidence that he learned a damn thing in this whole deal.
Oh, yeah, and what was the deal about getting his sword. What did it, it never amounted to shit. It didn't do anything. I thought there was going to be some kind of big moment.
What about his sword?
Yeah.
He gave Longclaw away? Did I miss that?
Sam gave his family sword to Jorah.
Yeah.
But then nothing ever came of that.
No, he killed a lot of things before he died unnecessarily.
I know, but it was like, why have Sam take the time to even do that?
It was Valyrian steel, and he needed to give it to somebody that could use it.
Yeah, but they had all sorts of dragon glass and Valyrian steel all over the place. I'm not sure exactly why you needed that moment.
There wasn't that much Valyrian steel.
Oh, well, I felt
those blades are rare.
They should have dedicated the actual plot.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to drop a plot line, I'm okay with that one being one of them.
Yeah.
It was the major ones that didn't get solved or didn't get solved logically that just blows my mind.
Yeah, but they could have used that time, is what I'm saying. They could have not had that scene and then spent 2 minutes doing something to explain some other shit. But I felt like John was going off to be happy. He's with his best friend, and he's going to go up there and be king of the True North.
He came beyond the wall, such as what would term it. But, yeah, I mean, they did want to leave the Stark kids in a good place, and I get that.
Yeah. And her being queen of the North was appropriate if
it didn't completely destroy her brother's rulership of the rest of the realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which, as she's been presented to us, she's savvy enough to know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, yeah.
So it.
She also is savvy enough to know this is the last episode, so.
Fuck it.
they don't have time to revolt.
I'm still not clear as to what Sansa's objection was to like having the North be part of the Seven Kingdoms, especially in a thing where it's now back under a Stark.
Yeah, that part actually confused me. In forethought, a few days after the ending, I was like, why would she be so upset when a Stark controls the whatever's left of the Iron Throne, the puddle of the Iron Throne? Like, it's
man.
It's fine. Like, what's the big deal?
Because he can't sire children.
I don't know. So why? Well, but it's in the family now.
Precisely. And now that the heir is Sansa's child, presumably.
Although, didn't they say they would have another Kingsmoot or whatever?
This was all part of the beautiful plan that Shackled Tyrion laid out. Yes.
Oh.
The best part. No, there's a lot of best parts of that ridiculous scene. But one of the parts that tickled me was Grey Worm was like, "You've said enough," and then he proceeded to just let him talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After he starts butchering Lannister soldiers, literally nothing Grey Worm does makes any sense in the show.
Well, the last part where he leaves makes sense, because you knew that was coming the whole time, that he was going to go to Missandei's island and protect it.
With all of the people.
Yes, with all of
the people. They're going to be a popular... I don't know how they're going to have food or water.
He's going
or take a shit, but that's where we're going.
He's going to go there, burn it to the ground, and then protect That's what he's learned.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why he went, why all the Unsullied went. I'm a little fuzzy on.
Right. And, wait a minute. And what about the Dothraki?
And their incredible regenerative abilities? Yeah, I don't know.
All the Dothraki rode off into the abyss in the middle to die. And then there's a ton more of them. And then they're riding around at the end, too.
I don't know. I guess they're the new Hell's Angels of Westeros. I don't know. I don't understand.
Where the Dothraki... You know, they didn't even mention where the Dothraki went. They weren't riding along with Grey Worm.
I mean, there were some of them down at the docks, right? But I don't know.
Were they riding horses?
I don't have an answer, Keyshawn. It's a fair question, but because no one knows.
No further. Literally on the dock on their horses. Just, we can't get back.
It's so stupid.
It really is. She coded those Dothraki everywhere. And they don't even
But they weren't done being dumb. No, sir. But wait, there's more. Oh. Then Tyrion draws up the worst.
There's your title, but wait, there's more.
The worst Privy Council in the history of Westeros. Oh. We have Brienne as Lady Commander of the Kingsguard. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The rest of it, just fuck all of it.
Oh, wait a minute. I like Pod being one of the knights now.
Sure, that's fine. But
all right.
I need you right now to sell me on Bronn of the Blackwater as the Minister of Finance.
Yeah, yeah, that was a twist that I did not.
Yeah.
Any of the other positions would have been better.
Oh, God.
And Sam getting his postdoc and seeing that's fine. I'm okay. he was totally smart. Mm-hmm. Outside of the whole not mentioning John could be the king thing, but
sure, sure.
Yeah. Capable maester. I'm okay with that. But yeah.
And I'm reticent to bring it up, but again. The bank. don't they have like or I don't know. I mean, if you raise the town and take it over, do you just tell the bank, hey, well, those are the other guys. They're all dead.
Well, they found the money, because maybe Bronn's good at this, to rebuild that room immediately. Like, it was fine.
You noticed that, did you? Presumably some time had passed.
No, I think it certainly had, yeah. But they weren't sure where Drogon was, I don't think it had been that much time, was the implication.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they had enough time to make Sansa a crown, and I guess Arya for her to buy a boat.
Yeah.
And Jon to go all the way back north.
True, true.
Right.
Not accessing the Speed Force this time, presumably.
No.
You didn't have Gendry with him. Never found out what happened to that kid.
Well, he was at the Parliament, representing Storm's End.
Right, but we never saw like what did he do?
No one, not Arya anymore. I mean, just the one time
he took a shot, and just gave up. All right, that was it.
I used to make things. Now I guess I'm a lord. Okay, great, unbelievable.
Oh God!
I don't know how you like. Trot this out with a straight face. I really don't.
Well, frankly, I feel like I've got to watch the episode again just to see the Dothraki on their horses.
Seven looking across the ocean.
That's the perfect ending. I just, we stuck here.
I mean, no, that would actually have been, that would have been so funny, I would have been down, but
yeah,
oh, good God.
Everybody else got their happy ending except the Lannisters and the
Dothraki. Well, Tyrion is hand of the new weird king.
That's true.
True.
But only the Dothraki were truly screwed. Ain't that a bitch?
Maybe they all got like a free Uber code or something to get back.
Right? Yeah. I will watch that episode again just for that.
That's a great segue, I think, to maybe wrap this up and to get to the one thing I've been really puzzling over. I think that this wrap up such that it was so bad that I don't know if I could ever watch the series again, which is really weird to say that. Cause I really love this world and this narrative that's been built over the last 20 years, but I feel like the ending makes so little sense and is such a strong departure from these characters as we understood them going into it, that it really does kind of blow the whole thing up.
Well,
am I being overreactive?
Do you think that George R.R. Martin is seeing all of this and going and tweaking and revising based on, you know, he's had somebody else take all the bullets?
Well, that sounds a lot like writing, which I don't think he does anymore. So I'm going to say no. But I'm going to throw this out as the big winners. Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof.
Oh. For Lost?
How are they not like, how do you like us now, bitches?
No, I didn't like Lost. This one, at least, was just one sin as opposed to...
No. We just spent an hour and a half hashing the length of the episode, hashing out how bad this season was and how little sense it made.
But all the sins still boil back to, if they'd have given it more time, then that it could have worked, but they didn't give it the time it needed. That was the that's the principal sin. But
yeah, I don't know that I agree with that. Not in totality. I think some of it works better with time to breathe, but there are some places they leave these characters that just don't make any sense to me. I really think the Jon Snow is just going to like become King Beyond the Wall really doesn't work with the story as I understood it. They fought to protect that secret of that parentage for a long, long time. And we had this whole thing with the prince that was promised, and it seemed like it was going to be Jon.
That and also, then, yeah, that whole prophecy also, like, they didn't, I didn't really, know, I don't know if they could really justify or say that the prophecy about Cersei was really fulfilled either.
No, and to be fair, it's a little bit different than how it's presented in the books.
Okay.
So they have a little bit of an out there, but no, absolutely not.
I wonder if George R. R. Martin does feel a sense of relief that when he does come around and finish the books, that there will be a lot of, probably a lot of, you know, public interest in it, because the story was not told in a satisfying fashion for a lot of the fans. So he won't lose them, you know, God, 10 years from now or whenever the next book comes out. And who knows how much longer after that before the story is actually finished. There's going to be a hunger for a different take on these characters and the story from where he last left off.
You guys have hit both of the two popular takes. Keyshawn's idea that, yeah, if they just don't rush it, it's probably okay, is a popular sentiment. And I largely agree with it. Not totally, but largely. Ariel, I've seen a lot of people saying, like, you know, once we get the novels, that's going to be great. And the novels are wonderful. And so, you know, you should pick up the books and join us waiting. But he's not going to finish it.
I fully believe that is a likely outcome. Yeah. I think he might get one more book out.
And that's kind of where I'm at.
Something.
I think we get one more novel, whether it's The Winds of Winter or the second half of Fire and Blood. I don't know. But anything under that, I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Sanderson can just finish it off like he does with everybody else.
Well, that's the part where Martin's a real asshole.
Brandon? No.
He has made it. He's said he's gone on and on and on about how he'll be goddamned if anyone else gets to write this thing. Because that's how petty of a man he is, I guess. Don't touch
that's
my stuff.
A shame because,
you know it's mine. Yeah. Yeah, unless you're going to give me all the money. You're giving me all the money? Okay.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Or not care and see what happens later. Yeah.
It's kind of a shame, I think, kind of wraps it up. At least is where I'm at in my headspace.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I do think knowing where it ends, you know, should affect, you know, what you think about revisiting the whole thing from the get-go. And it does seem incomplete to varying degrees, depending how you feel about it. But I don't think anybody could disagree in sentiment that it's a bit incomplete or more, maybe more, a lot incomplete.
Yeah.
And left people unsatisfied. And yeah, I don't know. Rewatchability is an interesting question. It's all very fresh still, the ending. So who knows with time, but yeah, it seems, at least for me personally, also, I'm not sure I want to sit through the whole thing again either.
Yeah. Prior to this year, I would have said absolutely. In fact, I have watched all the seasons already multiple times before. And people have complained about a lot of other series endings, but this one, I don't know, this one just felt spectacularly bad. But Keyshawn still seems to think the Lost conclusion was worse, and that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I just felt like that one was all over the place. Mm-hmm. This one had one principal sin, and it just wasn't spelled out enough. Now, of course, what will really shed light on everything will be when Martin comes out, if Martin ever comes out with a book, to see if it's with it. Because the book, by its very nature, will be more spelled out than what we got. It has to be. So we'll at least get a notion of, okay, well, the primary author had all the time in the world. And if it still falls apart, then I'll be the first to say, well, okay, it was the overall plan never had a good ending, but there's still a shot.
Well, we did see glimpses of what that might look like.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said earlier, I think a lot of the places they go are kind of interesting.
Agreed.
So yeah. If someone will just actually decide to execute on this crap properly, I think we're going to get a pretty epic storyline.
Yeah, that's where I am.
But I guess I'm despairing of that because, as I said before, we now have two instances of authors like literally piecing out on the scope of this story.
Well, it's just too bad George Lucas is so old. He could come back remake it.
Why you gotta do that?
Hey,
this one's not on him. Come on.
What are the odds of getting a special edition of season 7?
Oh,
I don't know. How many people signed that shit?
There were a lot. I think it was like 300,000 or something like that. I didn't sign it.
No, you're a well-adjusted human being. I mean, I'm disappointed, but I don't expect them to like ram a bill through Congress either. for fuck's sake,
have a king's mood about it.
Oy.
You know, this is interesting because I can't recall you having this much disdain for any shows, isn't it?
No, that's because it actually is the worst one I think I've ever seen.
All right, there's that.
I'm coming in strongly negative on this one. It just so little of it makes sense on the face of it.
Oh god!
And every other show ending that has been botched has had the excuse of there wasn't enough money or time. That was not the case here.
Yeah.
And that's just hurtful. How disrespectful to your creative peers to like have that, to have the blank check and just like tear it up, burn it and go hang out at fucking Skywalker Ranch or wherever the hell Star Wars gets made now.
Yeah.
Later, bitches.
Live the dream and make the Star Wars trilogy.
And now aren't you scared to death of what they'll do with that?
I don't know. If they're going to make a show, I'll be scared. If they're making a trilogy, you know, I've asked myself about that. Honestly, after The Last Jedi, I don't think it would be any worse. That was so bad.
That's not an ending.
They already shat all over that, so I'm kind of like...
Oh. So, I think we're in agreement. Avengers Endgame stuck the landing.
Fuck yes.
Game of Thrones ended, just like King's Landing ended. Fire and Blood. So we're one for one. Like,
are there any other endings coming up?
Or The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, right, of course.
One of the biggest geek years since...
ever.
2013 or 12, whenever the Avengers came out. And didn't we have Dark Knight that same year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only other year I can think of that had the potential of this one. And we got to see if J.J. Abrams could pull it out. I don't think he can. But, well, I say that, but goddamn, I love that trailer. So
it raises some interesting questions. I want to be excited, but...
I've heard spoilers, but...
Oh, yeah. Now, are those spoilers, or are you just looking at the Star Wars Galaxy Edge Twitter feed?
No.
Because that's not actually a movie.
Not looking at that.
Okay.
Thinking I'll go eventually, maybe, if I win the lottery, I can take my kids.
No, wait, Disney's not that expensive.
Shit, son, are you out of your mind? God damn. The one I looked at was like $7,000.
That's a lot.
Oh, you can certainly spend a lot if you want to be stupid about it, but...
Well, I got to buy 5 tickets.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got quite the crew you'd be taking with you.
But that'll be your biggest expense if you do it right. Airline did a whole show about how to work Disney. I'll point you to it if you need to.
I've got a friend that like does that for a living for people. And Disney pays...
What sneaks people into the Disney Underground Railroad?
Pays this woman to like help people come up with the cheapest way possible to go to Disney. And they pay her to do it. And I'm like, how the fuck? They go to Disney like 5-6 times a year. And
wow.
Like professional going to Disney people.
It's not that hard. Is it, how much does she make doing this? Am I in the wrong run of work? Because I could do that.
I don't know. I don't know, but it must not be bad.
That's wild.
They're doing just fine, Frisco.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have all kinds of packages that are crazy high. But if you don't necessarily want to like make out with Cinderella at lunch, you don't have to necessarily spend. There's a grand right there. You can cut out really easy.
Yeah, if I could get it under $7,000, I'd be interested.
It's. I think we got you covered.
I'm encouraged. I got something more out of this podcast than I thought.
I got catharsis. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, hon. You need to vent,
and I
can't think of a better way of feeling good about the ending of Game of Thrones than thinking about those Dothraki on their horse on the pier.
It could have been worse.
We go no further than this.
Well, that's one of the ways that you cut your Disney expenses. You don't buy the return ticket.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so Dothraki, and we just live there in Orlando.
That's what I say. Ariel, what's coming up on Comics Stripped?
Comics Stripped. We're going to be tackling, actually, the new Action Comics from Brian Michael Bendis. And this title from Image Comics called Skyward. That's the June 18th.
That's Kirkman, right?
Skyward? That's Skybound Entertainment, right?
Oh, that's Skyward, right. You're right.
Yeah. Skyward's a crazy one. It's like what happens if gravity's like turned off on the Earth, or at least lowered significantly, and all society has to kind of change how they live. It's pretty cool series.
Dude, I felt like that would be depressing because I'm watching in real time how we're dealing with climate change.
yeah.
I'm not hopeful, Ariel.
it addresses some of the. There's a lot of parallels. A lot of parallels.
I'm sad on the docks with my horse.
Having read the Action Comics as well, I do recommend it. I think Bendis is doing some interesting things with Superman. In ways,
well, somebody
like,
should.
Yeah, I think so. There, you know, there's Superman, and then there's Action Comics. I think the Action Comics story is better than the Superman story, at least right now, to me. But so we'll be checking those two out, and we just put out an episode. Gosh, it's already been 2 weeks. Plenty of material to come.
Yeah, no, I'm caught up, and it's been long enough since the last episode that I forgot what you guys are reading next. I have a tough time with that podcast. I'm gonna be honest. I want to argue with you guys.
That's good. I think that's part of the intention. No, it's like a book club.
It is the highest compliment I can give it. Literally.
Cool.
Keyshawn, any new diseases on the frontier there?
They're all on the frontier. If there's any way that my contribution to this podcast could lead to the abstinence of one person, then I've done my civic duty.
I did not expect it to go that direction, but okay.
Are we back to Game of Thrones? No, that's the title. That right there is the title of the episode. Hey, but Father's Day's coming up, right?
Is it?
That's still a thing, right?
Maybe for others. For me. That's the day where I sit around going, shouldn't I be happy? Is anything going to go on here? No? Okay. Just wondering.
I'm going to get my horse, go down to the docks.
That's right.
The perfect Father's Day gift for Keyshawn is a picture of a Dothraki horseman at the docks staring at the ocean.
That's the lyrics for that Billy Ray Cyrus tune that all the kids love, right?
Old Town Road, you're talking about?
Yeah, Old Town Road. Yeah, I'm going
to
take my...
Is he still making music? No, come on.
Let me put it to you straight. It's not Billy Ray Cyrus' song. It's Lil Nas X or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But they don't let black people take credit for things in white country music.
God damn.
So they have to give it to Billy Ray Cyrus.
He's
I
not
said
wrong.
I give it to you straight.
I appreciate it.
I thought that there were two versions, and like there was the original, and then he added Billy
the Ray white privilege stolen version.
Well, he didn't steal it. It was like he got Billy Ray to sing the intro or something like that. Or was that original?
I think that's right. And I think he got a lot of backlash for the original. And so they needed to do something to make white people comfortable with it.
Oh,
there you have it.
I've heard all of it. I like all of it.
And he decided Billy Ray Cyrus was the best way to do that.
It was after the Dothraki.
So we're talking now about a video of a Dothraki staring at the ocean on his horse with Old Town Road playing in the background.
That's right.
It's quite a picture we're painting. And I want to leave you with that picture because you've been listening to Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I've been Cyrus Dracaris Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington, greatswordstudios.com. With me at the Comic Strip podcast and just general awesomeness has been Ariel Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, sir.
Also with us, a little worse for the wear, but he soldiered through and we appreciate it. Keyshawn the Broken Xavier.
Oh, bo hell yeah.
This episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Great Sword Studios production. Copyright 2019.
Junave sicce fervin ani morivulcun.